In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Jeremiah has the weight of Israel on his shoulders, the complete weight of Israel on his shoulders. When you are talking about the prophet, you are talking that he embodies the suffering that he is about to proclaim. He just does not speak a word. It's easy to, anybody can speak a word, okay? Anybody can say words. Words are cheap. But the prophet Jeremiah embodies the word. And it's the word of suffering because Israel is reprobate, prostitute, really. We see that again in Hosea. That Hosea, even more, please snap it off. Hosea, more than anybody, is called to marry a prostitute. Called to marry a prostitute. Because Israel is a prostitute. That Hosea will experience a drop of what God experiences as he is so faithful. When you're talking about the prophet, you're not talking just words, okay? Just the prophet's going to speak words. There's much more than words. The prophet embodies the words. He must embody the word because how can he proclaim the word of God with any degree of, what's the word?
Conviction.
Any degree of conviction unless it's burning in him. Unless he feels a little of what God feels. You see, that's why to be a prophet is not a very good job. It's not a fun thing. It's a job that, a vocation that a person suffers the agony of God. I love these theologians that say God has no feelings. He's not human. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you, he might not be human, but you know what? The Lord has feelings. You want to know why? Because we were created in his image and likeness, and we have feelings too, just like him. But his feelings run so deep, so deep. His sorrow runs so deep. His joy runs so deep. What do you think God feels when he sees a church, whatever church it is, that has nothing to do with faith and everything to do with what the world teaches? Well, how do you think God feels when he gave his own son for us? That the blood of Jesus was given for us? How do you think God feels when he looks at churches that are just churches that are running a business? I don't care what churches they are. How do you think he feels when he gave up his own son for us? How do you think God feels when he's anointed a man or a woman and they turn back, even though he knew it when he anointed them, and they don't want to pay the price anymore? Because I tell you, there's a price to pay. No matter what you choose, there's a price to pay. Nothing comes cheap. You get nothing for nothing, okay? And if you think you're getting a free lunch somewhere, you're out of your mind. Nothing for nothing. No free lunch. Just the way it is. So God knows what his people go through. And when Israel was reprobate and really prostitute, Jeremiah suffered. He suffered. And his words in the 15th chapter Woe to me, mother, that you gave me birth. My Lord. Woe to me, mother, that you gave me birth. I am a man of strife and contention to all the land. I neither borrow nor lend, yet they curse me. When I found your words, I devoured them. I devoured them. And they became my joy and my happiness of heart because I bore your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit like everybody else celebrating in the circle of merrymakers. I didn't go out and get drunk. I didn't go out and prostitute myself. But I was under the weight of your hand and I sat alone. Because you filled me with indignation. Why is my pain continuous, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? You have become for me a treacherous brook whose waters do not abide. My Lord, this is heavy stuff. This is heavy stuff that the prophet's experiencing. You know, he's come to a crossroads of pain. He wakes up in the morning with this pain. He doesn't even know where it's coming from. He knows that God's allowing this pain. But this pain is one drop in the ocean of what God feels about Israel. The very Israel that he calls to be his own people. The very Israel that he led through the sea. The very Israel that he fed with manna in the desert. The very Israel that he sent Moses to and Miriam and Aaron. Oh, the Israel of God has mocked her Lord. Has worshipped other gods. Has gone astray. Jeremiah feels this. Jeremiah feels a drop of this. How can he cry out if he does not feel the pain of God? How could he say the things that he needs to say if he doesn't experience the pain of God? A drop of it. And the Lord answered Jeremiah, "If you repent so that I restore you in my presence, you shall stand." Whatever he had to repent of, I have no idea. If you bring forth the precious without the vile, in other words, the word of God, pure, without the vile, you shall be my mouthpiece. Then it shall be that those enemies of yours, they who turn to you, and you shall not turn to them. And those enemies of yours, I will make you toward them a solid wall of brass. Though they fight against you, they shall not prevail. For I am with you to deliver you and to rescue you, says the Lord. I will free you from the hand of the wicked, and I will rescue you from the grasp of the violent. Now I'm going to tell you, when God makes a promise, the promise doesn't come about today. When God makes a promise, it doesn't come about when you want it to come about. It comes about in the time of God, at the kairos moment, at the right moment. It just doesn't come about. It just doesn't happen the day he says it. It happens, but it doesn't happen, if you know what I'm saying. It happens in eternity, but it doesn't always happen in time. So you're going to have to sweat it out. Sweat it out. You're going to have to experience more of this pain until I come to set you free. God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus. But it doesn't mean that it's today. But if he promised it, he'll do it. If he promised it, he'll do it. And some people quit just about the time when he's about to do it. They've had enough. They said, no more. I can't deal with it. Some people quit just before God is about to do what he promised. And even, if he doesn't do it, but if he promised it, he will. Do we want him? more than we want his promises. I'm not going against his promises. I'm just saying, you know, do we want him more than we want his promises? He's more important than the promises. He's the Lord. The promises come from him. A lot of people quit. They quit. No more. I've had enough. Why? I'm a man of strife. I'm a man of contention. I'm under the weight of your hand. If you're under the weight of his hand, I'm going to tell you that's a blessing and that's a pain. Because he doesn't let you go very far. When you're under the weight of his hand, he doesn't let you go very far. Until you surrender. He's got a heavy hand when he wants to have it. For our protection. For our protection. Doesn't feel that way when the heavy hand of God is on us. Doesn't feel that way at all when the heavy hand of God is on us. Doesn't. Thy hand was heavy upon me. You read the 32nd Psalm and see about the heavy hand of God. So Jeremiah is just a man of God, proclaiming the word of God, embodying the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is the very word of God incarnate. When he weeps over Jerusalem, these are the tears of the Father. How I long to gather you under my wings, like a mother hen would gather her chicks, but you would not come. The word longed, I have longed to gather you. And he weeps. Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone them, and then you build their tombs. Jesus is the Word of God. He not only embodies it, he is that Word in the flesh. And everything he speaks is pure without any dross. Without any vile. Everything that he speaks comes from God the Father. Everything. I have not come to bring peace to the world. I have come to bring a sword and a fire. Would that that fire be enkindled. I have a baptism that I'm about to be baptized into. Oh, that fire burned in Jesus and still does. And that, what Jesus said, does bring a sword. Mother against daughter. Father against son. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. That's why people step back. They step back because you know what? It can be rugged. But those men and women who go all the way will find something that nobody else will find. As they go through the storm, they will find something that nobody else will find. As they go through the tunnel, the dark tunnel, they will find that in the midst of the tunnel, he's there. Oh my God. Spare me from the people who say, God, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't need a light at the end of the tunnel. I need a light in the middle of the tunnel. That's where the Lord is, not at the end of the tunnel. He's with me in the tunnel, the dark tunnel. But so many people just say, no more. It's rugged. It's rugged. Too rugged. But Well, you know what? Let's see how God is, okay? Let's look at the gospel because it's very, very interesting. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds the pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. We all think the pearl of great price is Jesus. But let me tell you, there is only one who went and sold all he had and gave it all up, even emptied himself of the glory of the divinity. There was only one that shed the last drop of his blood. There was only one that bore our wounds and carried our infirmities. There was only one who bore the wounds of the sick and the infirm. I was at Children's Hospital two days ago, praying for a little girl from Sicily. And there's no hope. What that mother and father are going through. He bore that on the cross. Not only did he bear what she's going through, but the anguish of the mother and the father. There's only one who sold it all, who gave it all up, who didn't count himself equal to God, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. There's only one. That's Jesus. And the pearl of great price happens to be you. He saw it worth it to go to the cross and bear our wounds, bear our sins, bear our infirmities. He counted it worth it for the joy that lay before him. You're the joy that lay before him from the book of Hebrews. He is the one that's the merchant. Oh yes, he's the pearl of great price. And he's worth selling everything for, but everybody, no one sells it all. Even one thought we can keep to ourselves. But he gave it all up. You're the pearl. I'm the pearl of great price. Then the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. You've got to know about the field in Israel. If you went there in 1979, when I went there, or 1980, you would know much more than today. There were stones every place, in every field. It looked like the land of milk and honey grew stones so vigorously. So you see, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and with great joy goes and sells everything and buys the field, stones and all. Stones and all. When we were bought with the blood, we were bought stones and all. We didn't all of a sudden become saints in a day, or a week, or a year, or 10 years. There were lots of stones in us and still are. But he bought the whole field. Stones and all. Stones and all. The good, the bad, and the ugly in me, he bought on the cross. You know, one person said, you catch the fish and the Lord will clean them. Oh, yeah. He'll clean it, but you know what? Sometimes we won't let him clean us. And so the fish starts to stink and stench. You catch the fish. You bring them to Jesus, and then Jesus cleans them. All the garbage that's in us, stones and all. We have no idea what Jesus did on the cross. No, we have no idea. If we were to preach it for a billion years, we still wouldn't reach the essence and the depth of the love of God that He has for us when Jesus gave His life for us. We could not even begin to thank Him enough for the salvation that He has won for us when He died, when He absorbed the sin of the world, when He broke it. Couldn't even begin to. But you know what? That's why we're going to need eternity. When we've been there 1,000 years, when 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to give God praise than when we first begun. My Lord, we have no idea about the mercy of Jesus. Oh, we might have tasted it, but it's greater than our taste. We might have experienced it. It's greater than our experience. That's why men and women have been called to preach it, to teach it, to go around the world and to tell it to those who will not hear it, to pray for those who would not be prayed for. That's why people have given up everything to do what God wants them to do. And we're all so comfortable. All of us. We're all so comfortable. You know that. No matter how little we have, we are so comfortable. We have no idea how comfortable we are until the comfort is taken from us. We have no idea what it is to have a home until the home is taken from us. We have no idea of what freedom is until freedom is taken from us. We have no idea of what a loved one means until the loved one is taken from us. No idea. It's real. Because we're all so ungrateful. Starting with me. You know, if we woke up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. And we continued all day long saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It wouldn't be enough. We have no idea. I have no idea. No idea. But yet, isn't it wonderful that He has so much patience with us? Isn't it wonderful that He doesn't give us up? Isn't it wonderful that He doesn't wash His hands of us like Pilate? Isn't it wonderful that He always gives us another chance? Isn't it wonderful that He never stops loving us? Isn't it wonderful that He's always trying to gain our attention? You know, people come to me and say, every door is closed. And they've been closed. What's the Lord trying to teach you through this? He's trying to gain your attention about something. I have no idea what it is. I can barely know what it's about me. What do you want to gain my attention about? When all these doors close. They don't only close, they slam in my face. What are you trying to teach me through this? What are you trying to tell me? What am I supposed to learn so I won't have to do it again? So I won't have to put up with it again? What am I supposed to learn through this stuff? So I won't have to repeat it? You know, I'm telling you, there's always something to learn. I do thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. This is Father Tom, and I'm really grateful to be able to come into your homes to proclaim the Word of God. At this point, we have not received enough money for our June builds, and we have not even begun
to receive money for our July bill. So if this broadcast is a blessing to you, you write to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. As I've told you before, I cannot go into debt. And if I have to cut out stations, I will have to do that. So, if this broadcast is a blessing, if you've never written, please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I do want to tell you that every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is the month of August, and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, praising God, for He is glorious and triumphant. I do also want to remind you about Jimmy the Roofer. And as I told you, you know, he did a job that should have been $20,000, and it wasn't even near that. And winter is coming, and he's taking appointments because he can only do so much. And his telephone number is 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. And don't get caught with a hole in your roof. 617-519-0341. And again, I do need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. May the Lord bless you and fill you with His Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.